Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Indostar Capital Finance Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikunj Jain from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you for the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Indostar Capital Finance Limited. To discuss this quarter's business performance, we have from the management Mr. Karthikeyan Srinivasan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Vinod Kumar Panikar, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Srijit Menon, CEO, Indostar Home Finance Private Limited. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the Indostar presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to management for their opening comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nikunj. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Karthikeyan Srinivasan, and I'd like to extend a warm welcome to each one of you for attending our conference call on the earnings of Q1 FY24. Joining me today are Mr. Vinod Panikar, our Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Srijit Menon, the Chief Executive Officer of Indostar Home Finance Private Limited. We are focused on the used commercial vehicle lending and affordable housing sector, and we have kept our focus unwavering. We continue to see promising growth prospects in both these areas. As you're aware, the Indian economy has displayed strong and commendable resilience in the last fiscal and the current fiscal too, with the sustained growth momentum happening. RBI has also said that overall economic activity has remained robust. The GDP growth for Q1 24 is now cast at an impressive 7.9%, and this has had a very positive impact on the commercial vehicle industry. The outlook for the commercial vehicle industry for the year remains quite strong, and this has a positive rub-off effect on the used commercial vehicles too. As you're aware, because the new vehicle commercial prices have gone up, the value of the used commercial vehicles has been significantly increasing, and this presents Indostar a unique opportunity to leverage our expertise and capitalize on growing the demand in the used commercial vehicle segment. Our focus remains on the Tier 3 and Tier 4 market, which contribute to the bulk of our volume. I'm delighted to share that our company has been experiencing steady growth, and it is picking up each quarter. This can be seen by the growth in our disbursements during the quarter, which stood at around 1,116 crore, growing 33% sequentially. Our collection efficiency has been exceptionally robust, reflecting the strength of our business model and the trust the customers place in us. This is one strength which we want to use further and further. Furthermore, I'm pleased to announce that our management team is now complete with the recent addition of our new Chief Risk Officer. We believe that a strong leadership team is crucial to achieve our objectives, and we are confident in the capabilities of our management. Looking ahead, we are confident about the coming quarters, and we see robust growth in the near future. Our earlier guidance remains unchanged, and we are confident in our ability to achieve our targets. To augment further growth, we are also actively exploring new products and strategies that can help generate additional revenue and improve yield. Diversifying our offerings will enable us to stay ahead of the market and deliver sustainable value to our stakeholders. I want to express my gratitude to all of you for your continued support. We are dedicated to maintaining our focus on growth, portfolio quality, and operational efficiency. With a solid financial foundation, a healthy liquidity situation, and strategic initiatives in place, we are poised for a bright and profitable future. Before I hand over the session to my colleague Vinod, I'd like to mention that last week CRISIL has removed the rating watch with negative implications from the company's debt instruments and long-term banking facilities. While reaffirming the ratings at CRISIL AA- and assigned a negative outlook to the long-term rating. Some of the key factors that have triggered this rating action include strengthening of risk and controls, the strong management framework and governance mechanism which we have established, formation of the new management team, and focus on building the retail portfolio in a scalable manner. Over to you, Vinod.
Thank you, Karthik, and good afternoon to all of you. I sincerely appreciate your presence at this conference call today. This is the third conference that we have started. When we started, it was the December quarter. This is the third time we are coming before you after a gap of 1 year that we had first come to you after the December quarter. Allow me to provide you with an overview on the financial performance of the company for the first quarter of FY24. Let's start with the net interest income, where we reached about 145 crores, showing a 7% increase on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Our net interest margin for the same period expanded by about 50 basis points to reach about 6.5%. We are pleased to report that our yields have significantly improved, and we are now fully focused on Tier 3, Tier 4 markets, like Karthik mentioned in his comment. Notably, during the quarter, we need to mention that the focus has been on used commercial vehicle, and 93% of the disbursement were towards used commercial vehicle, where the yields are significantly better than anything else. Turning to the operating expenses, we recorded a total cost of about 115 crores for the current quarter, representing on the paper about 74% increase over the immediately preceding quarter. But the last quarter had a one-time reversal of about 50.6 crores. If that is adjusted, there is a decline of about 1.2% in the expenses. We would, over the next three quarters, see continuous reduction in expenses, because that's one of the focus areas that we are looking at. Besides the growing of book, besides looking at the portfolio, reduction of cost is one of the areas that we are definitely looking at. Our profit after tax for the quarter was at about 39 crores, an increase of 50% compared to the adjusted tax of the previous quarter, which was at about 26 crores. We achieved a total collection. Karthik did mention that collection has been very robust, of about 1,040 crores during the current quarter, which is a 13% higher than the immediately preceding quarter. Normally, March quarters are the best for the business, including for collections. But this quarter, the collection exceeded even the March quarter. Our gross collection efficiency was at about 129% in the current quarter, which definitely showcases our commitment to maintaining high operational efficiency, which is because of the high credit standards that we have maintained. Our focus on the portfolio quality has led to a decrease in the gross stage 3 assets, coming down to about 6.6% at the end of Q1 of the current financial year, indicating a healthy loan portfolio going forward. We are committed to maintain this the reduction as we go forward into the subsequent quarters. Further, our consolidated stage 3 asset, net stage 3 asset, was at about 3.1%, which is again a demonstration of whatever I said earlier, of the commitment of the team to ensure that we have operational efficiency, we focus on high credit standards. In terms of funding, we successfully raised about 1,215 crores in the first quarter, contributing to a healthy liquidity position. As on 30th of June, we had a cash and cash equivalent of about 1,151 crores, representing an 8% increase over the immediately preceding quarter. Our capital, so that effectively means that we have got sufficient funds to ensure that the growth is happening, and to ensure that the growth is happening, we have a very good capital adequacy of about 34.4%, and debt equity is only at about 1.9 times, which gives enough headroom for future growth. And we are confident that this will help us drive profitable growth in the coming quarters and years. The more we leverage, we will be able to get better ROE going forward. Our assets under management, the AUM, at about 8,062 crores, have grown by 3% compared to the immediately preceding quarter. Since the March quarter, we have now started, March quarter being the first quarter after three quarters, we have now started seeing an increase in the AUM. The increased disbursement of 1,116 crores in the current quarter, which was higher than the immediately preceding quarter, where it was 898 crores, all attributed, can be attributed to the strong focus on the retail segment. Retailization continues to yield favorable results, and we are confident of sustaining profitable growth in the coming quarter. In the vehicle finance business, our AUM for Q1 FY24 stood at about 3,928 crores, marking a 7% increase over the immediately preceding quarter. As previously mentioned, our emphasis continues to be on the CV segment and the affordable housing segment. We are confident that we will see significant growth as we go forward. As Karthik mentioned, with continued improvement in the economy, we are confident that we will grow on a quarter-on-quarter basis, leading to better business numbers in the coming quarters. Now I would like to invite my colleague Srijit Menon to provide insights on the housing finance segment, which is another key focus area for us. Over to you, Sri.
Thank you, Vinod. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're all doing well. I want to start by presenting an overview of Indostar Home Finance, continued progress in the affordable housing finance segment, with primary focus on Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets in southern and western part of India. Our strategy of focusing on small towns and semi-urban geographies has helped us to maintain the average ticket size under INR 1 million with a very high origination yields. Along with home loans, these geographies have presented us with a unique opportunity to build a high-quality LAP portfolio of small ticket size loans in the range of INR 5 to 7 lakhs with LTVs of sub 50% and yields upwards of 18%. I'm also happy to inform that we maintain a best-in-class asset quality evident from our net stage 3 rate, which is close to 0.9%, and healthy spreads across our portfolio. At Indostar Home Finance, with the power of the strong foundation bolstered by a robust branch infrastructure, dedicated team of employees, we are confidently moving towards our goal of expanding our assets under management by over 2.5 times over the next 2 years. In Q1 FY24, we disbursed loans worth 190 crores at an average origination yield of 15.8% as compared to INR 183 crores disbursed in Q4 FY23 at an average yield of 15.2%. Our commitment to ensuring liquidity is unwavering, and we have a robust funding pipeline to support our growth aspirations. We avail term lending from a couple of private banks and the largest public sector bank in Q1 FY24. This quarter also marks our maiden NCD issuance by way of a private placement, which is a significant step towards diversification of our funding profile. To further strengthen our initiatives, we have bolstered our workforce, bringing the total number of employees to 948 in Q1 FY24, with a particular focus on our feet on street to better serve our customers in diverse markets. We've also launched a series of technology initiatives in Q1 FY24 to improve the productivity and enhance customer experience, where we have gone live with our sales app, the collection app, and the customer app. We are in the process of launching further tech initiatives to improve the productivity as we speak today, which I will share with you in our next interaction. Now let's delve into our financial performance. As of 30th June, 23, our AUM has grown by an impressive 7% to reach INR 1,741 crores compared to rupees 1,623 crores as on March 23. This growth reflects the efforts of our dedicated team and our focus on expanding our customer base in Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets. In terms of financial results, we recorded a net total income of INR 37 crores for Q1 FY24, representing an encouraging 11% increase quarter-on-quarter. Our profit after tax stood at INR 8 crores for Q1 FY24, indicating positive momentum in our operations. Managing asset quality is one of our major achievements over the last few years, and we've successfully brought down our gross Stage 3 rates to 1.2% as on June 23. This accomplishment becomes even more important considering that we have adopted the new ONAN norms from 1st of October 2022. Maintaining a healthy capital adequacy ratio is a key priority for us, and I'm pleased to share that our ratio currently stands at 73.41%, underlying our ability to support business growth while ensuring ample capital reserves. In conclusion, our progress in building a small-ticket niche home loan and micro LAP play in Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets in our targeted geographies has been instrumental in shaping our success story. We are fully committed to furthering this growth trajectory, remaining focused on providing affordable home finance solutions to a diverse and expanding customer base. Thank you all for your attention. I now hand it over to the moderator for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nakul Doshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Nakul.
My first question is based on the vehicle finance sector. Incrementally, most of the vehicle finance has margin compression. I would like to know what are our guidance about FY24 as we go ahead, and what would be the sustainable margin which we can consider for post-FY24?
Nakul, we are, like we said, myself and Kartik, both of us said that we are predominantly in the used CV segment, and there we have not seen any, I would say, reduction in the margin. It has been in the depending on the and that too with the in the used CV also, we are in the Tier 3, Tier 4 markets. There we have not seen any, I would say, squeezing of the margins or in the reduction of the yield. That continues to be robust, and I would say that the demand is pretty good, and there is today, we don't see any reason to believe that the margins would see any kind of squeeze in the immediate quarter, in the immediate future.
Okay. Follow-up question on used commercial vehicle. As about the scrappage policy which the government is planning on, so what could be the possible impact of the scrappage policy on our used commercial vehicle business?
Nakul, we are operating only up to the 12-year-old vehicle. So even if the scrappage policy comes, which will be a positive momentum to the industry because the used vehicle sale will go further faster, we are very much protected against whatever is going to happen. But in our assessment, we are hearing about the scrappage. Nothing has come about as a norm or anything that has come till today. So till 12 years, I don't see any major impact that is coming into the business. Today, we are in the 5-8-year or the 7-10-year cycle. That will get quickened up if the scrappage policy comes, and which will be positive for us in the overall scenario.
Okay. And since the number for the July month were out for the commercial vehicle, and there was a slowdown observed in that. So what are your views on that? How could it impact the new commercial vehicle business as well?
Typically, monsoon months, there is a bit of a slowdown in the new commercial vehicle industry, but we didn't see any slowdown in the used commercial vehicle industry. A new commercial vehicle industry takes some time because there is a bodybuilding aspect that is involved, and you saw half of North India and West India getting impacted badly by floods. That has impacted the new commercial vehicle industry, and it's an annual phenomenon. So June, July, August, the construction activity slows down. Because construction activity slows down, the movement of cement, steel slows down. So naturally, the trucks also slow down, or trucks can get stuck in a deep flood. Those kind of issues happen. So we don't see any major thing coming in the immediate thing. Close to elections, we can see something coming and hitting the new commercial vehicle industry.
So basically, post this quarter, we can see a comeback in this sector.
Correct. Post-August, they naturally post. Typically, what happens after the Janmashtami, when the monsoon starts withdrawing, you will automatically see the increase in the commercial vehicles.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, Nakul.
Thank you, Nakul.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Harsh Shah from Dimensional Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. So my first
Good afternoon.
Question is on the leverage that the management touched upon. So since last 4 to 5 quarters, we are at 5,500-6,000 crore range in terms of borrowings, and we are at only 1.92x leverage. So with some traction in on the disbursement side, for next couple of years, what is the management's view on where it would like to take the leverage? And also, at what incremental rate are we able to borrow from the bank?
Harsh, Vinod here. I will take the call. We would be comfortable as management if the leveraging is up to 4x in terms of the debt versus equity. So we are currently, which is why I said in my opening remarks that there is a lot of scope for growth, and which can be well-funded by the additional borrowings that we do. As far as the incremental cost of funding goes, the current quarter, it was in the range of about 11.3. We have now recently only started approaching the banks, which we had stayed away from almost a year. It's only after the Q4 results that we started going to the bank. We are expecting that the cost to start coming down from the third quarter onwards.
Okay. Typically, how much basis point you expect the cost could come down for us?
We would wait and see, because obviously we are going to the banks after a long time, and they would be funding us. I mean, while some of them have been funding us, envelope, when we start speaking, we would wait to see how they will do it. But then we are expecting a substantial benefit in terms of cost.
Okay. And currently, how comfortable are the banks in lending us? I mean, are they liberal? Can we get, say tomorrow, if over next 6 to 9 months, if we want to get to, say, 3x, 4x leverage, will the bank be comfortable in lending us that much?
First and foremost, we would ourselves not be comfortable going to 3 to 4x in the next 6 to 9 months. We would also want to do it slowly. So we would, when we are approaching the bank, we are very clearly pointing out to them on what our expected growth trajectory is, basis which we have seen most of the banks or most of the lenders that we met have been pretty positive. In fact, even the NCD issuances that we came out with have been subscribed to by very, very large entities, most of them who are very careful about whom they give money to. So we are fairly confident banks will also be lending.
Okay. And you had mentioned that the company had issued certain, had raised funds via NCDs. At what rate were these NCDs floated?
9.95%.
So going ahead, what would be the funding mix between banks and NCDs? Will we be tapping NCDs market more than the banks?
No, we believe that we will be looking at banks more than anything else. Then from banks, it could be in any form. It may be in terms of term loans. It could be in the form of securitization. It could be in any form.
Okay. And last question is on the ROA side. So our ROA has been quite muted despite the increase in our disbursement, increase in yield. We are still lagging in terms of ROA, both at the consolidated level as well as the housing finance. So what are the key levers that we as a company have to take this ROE to double digits and then take it forward from there?
ROEs, I think one of the key leverage would be the leveraging that we do. So that is one thing. Second is definitely we are looking at improving the yields, and obviously I mentioned about reduction in the interest cost. These two will definitely help in improving the ROA, therefore the ROE. And last but not the least, lot of expenses which are there currently. See, we are in a stage where the book is actually going up, has started to go up. It has not reached where we would want it to be. As we go forward, we expect the operating expenses to go up, but go up in a very muted manner, while the revenues will grow up significantly. And when that happens, the ROA will go up, and also basically the leveraging that we do, the ROE would go up significantly.
Okay, okay. And during the current quarter, Q1, we saw that the rundown was quite higher compared to previous three or four quarters. So any reason behind that?
The rundown was not much, but we did mention about collections being very good. So that also leads to some amount of rundown, because actual disbursements were significantly higher. In fact, first time actually in the CV business, we had a disbursement of 750 odd crores in a quarter after nearly four quarters. So actually, the rundown, in fact, the numbers are in front of me. Between the second quarter and the third quarter of last year, from 6,400 we came to 6,100. Then it, in the last couple of quarters, it has actually gone up from about 6143 to 6190 and to 6321. This is, I am talking about the standalone business.
Mm-hmm.
And housing finance, as Srijit pointed out, that has only gone up. That has only gone up from about 1626 to 1730 or something.
Okay, okay, okay. Actually, my question is more on the. If I look at Q4 AUM, we were at around 7,800 crore, and then we did a disbursement of 1,100 crore. And we closed the book at 8,036. So there was rundown of around 900 crore. That is what I meant by.
No, that is because of the collection. I think I did mention that earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
That it is mainly because of the collection. In fact, we mentioned about 129% was the collection efficiency, which is one of the main reasons for the rundown which has happened.
Secondly, CV is a very short tenor book. If you look at it, it's a 39 month average. So automatically, one third of the book keeps running off.
Okay, okay. So when we are reporting 100% plus collection efficiencies, what is the pool of the assets which would be under restructuring or which are NPA? And for how long can we expect this more than 100% sort of collection efficiency?
See, in CV, it's a mix of both overdue collection, overdue pool, plus there is a restructured pool, plus there is a stage 3 pool. My stage 3 pool has significantly come down. Look at last year to this year, our phase three has dropped significantly. So that momentum will remain. We also have the customers not paying on time that gets covered in the next month. So that's why the collection efficiency always looks higher for all of the CB financials, because it's a cyclical industry. People don't get paid on time because they are the last level whom we are dealing with. Our assessment is this kind of beyond 100% continues for everybody, and we will also continue this.
Okay, this last question, is there any element of interest write back that is leading to increase in the yield? Because since we are recovering more than 100%, is there an element of this interest write back which might not be there going forward, or the increase in yield is organic in nature?
It's organic in nature.
It's organic.
See, we are not doing deals below a particular rate, and that is showing, giving us the overall book. See, the old book, which is at a lower rate, is running off, and the new book is getting added at a much higher rate. That's why the significant increase in yield is coming up.
Both in the standalone business and the housing finance.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Got it. Thank you so much. I'll join the queue if I have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Kodar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, Deepak.
Yeah, hello, sir, and thank you very much for the opportunity. So first up, I just wanted to understand, and you mentioned in your opening remarks about next 2 years, 2.5x of AUM, right? So that at the company level we are looking at, right?
Deepak, this is Srijit here. I was referring to the housing finance company.
Housing finance, okay. Yeah. And overall, at a company level, what sort of growth we are looking at over the next 2-3 years, CAGR?
On an overall basis, in fact, next couple of years, we would possibly look at a book of being at about 10,000 crore plus. We may not want to give any guidance right now, but then it would be the kind of growth that we are seeing in this quarter and what we saw in the previous quarter, that will continue, and that will be faster than what we have seen in the last two quarters.
Okay, but 2 years, 10,000 crores, I think already we are at 8,000 crores plus, right, in terms of AUM?
Yeah, 2 years means I was referring to an FY24 and FY25. My reference of 10,000 crore plus was to the standalone. On an overall basis, I think we should be in the range of about 13,000 odd crores.
13,000 crores in 2 years, that is by FY25, right?
Yeah. That's our, I would say, wishful thinking, or I would say that is our efforts will be towards that.
Understood. Fair enough. And you also mentioned earlier in the call that leverage, which is currently at 2x, we are comfortable with leverage at around 3 to 4x, and that we are likely to achieve over next maybe 2 to 3 quarters, right?
No, I didn't say 2 to 3 quarters. I told Harsh, who asked the question earlier, that we will not be comfortable going from 2 to 4 in the next 2 to 3 quarters. It okay. would be in a sustained fashion as we go forward.
Five, six quarters. No problem. 5-6 quarters. But I mean, as you increase your leverage, your ROE will see a boost, but your ROA will get down, will go down, right? So on a sustainable basis, what sort of ROE, ROA we should be comfortable with at the business level?
We will be comfortable if our ROAs are in the 2.5-3% range, but then that could be some time away. Mm-hmm. And maybe ROEs, I would say in the teens.
Teens, 14-15%, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But ideally, ROA currently, which is at about, 2.1% in first quarter, will see a downward pressure, right, when you increase your leverage.
No, when we increase the leverage, the ROA, it will be used for disbursement, and therefore the kind of yields that we currently are looking at, the ROA should start going up. And when the ROA goes up, the leverage goes up, the ROE should also go up.
Okay. And you also mentioned your operating expense will not go up proportionately as compared to your AUM and your NIMS growth and NIM growth, right?
So because it's the rental cost, it's the employee cost, those things don't go up proportionately.
Fair enough. Okay, I understood. That's it from my side. Thank you so much. All the very best.
Thanks, Deepak.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, everyone. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are, Abhijit. Please go.
Thank you. Karthik sir, I had a question for you. I mean, I recall during your opening remarks, I had made a note of it. You said guidance remains unchanged and we remain confident of achieving our targets. But somewhere I'm seeing that we are shying away from articulating that guidance and what is it that we are trying to achieve. I understand, I mean, based on what we have been through in the recent past, right? Difficult to guide, but rather than guiding over the medium term, right, even if we take it step by step, so I think it will make life easier for everyone to at least start articulating what is it that you are looking for in the next 3 quarters in terms of disbursements, in terms of AUM growth. Likewise, sir, I mean, you have already articulated what is your cost of borrowings today. So essentially, what is the incremental yields you are looking for? What is the OPEX at which you are looking to operate for a franchise like Indostar that you are building now? What are the kind of credit costs that this business model can operate at?
Sure, Abhijit. See, I think the last annual call which we did, we explained we are expecting a 4,400 crore disbursement this year. We are on target to achieve the same. That's why I said, like, we are not changing our growth numbers. We will be in the used commercial vehicle segment. We are operating at a sweet spot there in the Tier 3, Tier 4 markets where we have a NIM of around 8% on the incremental book. On the 8%, around 4-5% will be the 4% will be my in OPEX. 1.5 to 2% is the credit cost which I will carry, which will lead to a ROA of around 2%, and that's the guidance that doesn't change. Because it has not changed, I have not made any statement saying that it is going to be, there is going to be any shock. So if there is anything there, that then I should have made a statement. We are not looking at growing it aggressively this year. We are creating the building blocks so that we can jump to the next level of disbursement next year. So we want to see the technology initiatives. We want to see the kind of policies which we have launched are robust, are giving the desired kind of results. That we have been able to demonstrate. That's why if you read our rating rationale also, even CRISIL has mentioned that what is the kind of the new book which we are creating. We want to observe that and then take the next step. That's the guidance which I have. That's why I continue to make the statement that we don't have any change in our guidance.
Thank you, sir. This is useful. I'm glad. I mean, you reiterated the guidance that we've given earlier. Again, please don't get me wrong. The whole idea is so that we start appreciating what you are doing a whole lot better. So my next question was around, collections and what you said, these building blocks that you are building now, trying to see how robust they are so that you can move to the next level of disbursements from next year onwards. So, I essentially want to understand that, after what transpired last year at Indostar, what are those process level improvements, what are those changes that you've done in your team, which now makes you more confident of asset quality going forward. So essentially, if you look back, right, Indostar, at least in terms of collection efficiencies, has always reported very good collection efficiencies. They were always upwards of 100% even in the past. Today, your team have done changes, which makes you more confident of asset quality going forward. So if you can just help us, understand that, so that we can appreciate the changes that have happened much better.
Yeah, two things which we have done, Abhijit. One is the what do we source that has got corrected. Today, I have a robust loan origination system where APIs are available, where the customer's data completely gets checked from the site which is available, say like the PAN, gets validated from the PAN site, the vehicle gets validated from the VARAN site. We have created a bare minimum CIBIL score beyond below which we are not funding. We also have tightened the policies around the repayment track record of customers to ensure that only a good set of customers come into me. That's the first step we have taken. That's on what will come into me. On the collection portion of it, even before the ONAN got implemented, what we have now implemented is a robust follow-up mechanism. The customer doesn't slip into delinquency and then gets the follow-up call. Today, he gets a follow-up call before 3 days before his due date. The team, the field team is there touching the customer on the due date, or if a customer has turned delinquent immediately after the due date. So our focus has been on arresting the X bucket flow, which will ensure that we will reduce our GNPA going forward. That's visible in the current book, the recent year sourcing book that we have done. Portion of the data which is available in the rating reports of mine also reflect that. Typically, my billing-to-billing collection was in the range of 80%. EMI to EMI collection per month was around 80-85%. We have moved it beyond 90% in recent year. That's the reason last 3 quarters, we are averaging beyond 90%. That's the major strength which we have brought in. These three and the Q1 quarter also, we have ended up at 90%. So which will ensure that the cases don't slip. The cases that come into me are robust. If these two are there, automatically the finance company will start making money, and that's where we are reaching.
Also, Abhijit, one thing maybe just to add to what Karthik said just now, on the quality, the disbursements which have happened in the last 12 months, the 90 plus is about 1.2%.
I think it's there in the CRISIL report.
It's there in the CRISIL report also.
Thank you, sir. And this is very, very useful. Best wishes to the Industar team. I will come back in the question if you thank you. Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you. We have the next question from the line of Harsh Shah from Reliance General Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, I would like to understand that for our housing finance subsidiary, we were in talks with few of the players. So, any progress on that front?
Harsh, hi, Srijit here. Well, we did mention last time that JM Financials, through their subsidiary, was interested in looking at a possible collaboration. The due diligence for that action is on. It's still not concluded. And we will come back to you if there is anything further to report on that.
Okay. Sure, sir. So, thank you.
Thanks, Harsh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thanks, Pranav.
I wanted to actually have a follow-up question on the short-term guidance that you have given. I was wondering that, you know, in theory, we have an NIM of 8% and we are looking at OPEX of 4%, credit cost of about 1.5 to 2%. To return on asset of about 2%. So going forward, you know, as we leverage, NIM will, I guess, come down from 8% to 6%. And in that case, you know, we have either interest costs will have to go down to increase the spread, or I see OPEX will have to reduce from 4% over a medium term. So if you could guide how a reduction will take place, that would be good.
I think, Pranav, if you don't mind, now you need to repeat it, because I think your voice was continuously breaking. Sorry about.
Yeah, sure. There could be bad connection. I was looking at you know, the projections that you gave of NIM of about 8%, OPEX of about 4%, credit cost of 1.5 to 2% for commercial vehicles, giving us ROA about 2%. So as it evolves, you know, we leverage more from 2 times to 4 times. Our NIM would I mean, would come down. If spreads are constant, our NIMs would come down to about 6%, and then ROA will decline substantially. So I'm wondering, the two improvements that I see, one could be OPEX would have to go down from 4% level over a medium term, or the spread has to increase. Our interest costs are higher and they would probably come down. So I was wondering if you have some guidance on that front, which will give us more clarity.
No, Pranav, I think this, when the, I would say, leverage goes up, the cost will go up, when the ROA will go down, was a comment made by one of the fellow participants. I think, and I corrected him, saying that we are expecting the yields to go up, the cost of funds in a different context, I said that would be going down because we would be approaching banks and therefore my cost of funds would go down. And if that is the when that happens, the NIMs would increase substantially, and on a larger base you would be spending your OPEX. I think Karthik did mention about 4%. I expect it to be slightly lower than even 4%. The credit cost, while we have said 1.5 to 2, I think over the last 12 months, which was reasonably turbulent, it has been in the range of 1.25%. So I am saying that after that also, we came with a figure of, we are coming up with a figure of about 2.5% of ROE. When leveraging goes up, definitely the ROE will also go up. We don't see any reason for the profitability or the ROA or the ROE to go down.
So just one follow-up question. Over a longer term, do we expect our OPEX to be lower than 4% significantly, let's say around 3%? Is that possible?
It would be basis the base which increases, because finally a lot of the OPEX would be in relation to the fixed cost. Would not be closer to 3%. I would say it would be closer to 4, but definitely lower than 4.
Sure. Thank you, sir. That is awesome. That is helpful.
Thanks, Pranav.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now take the last question for today from the line of Darshan Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are, Darshan.
Yeah, hello, sir. So I just wanted to, because I'm quite new to this business, I just wanted a couple of pointers from you. First of all, I wanted to understand your product suite when it comes to your SME financing. So I know it is a non-focus area of yours, but I just wanted to have some clarity regarding the same.
Today we are focusing on reducing the NPA levels in the SME book. It's a pure LAP portfolio with the average LTV of around 50-55%. Unfortunately, it has got caught in the liability cycle because the liability rates have gone up, the tenors have got extended, basis which we have kept a conservative provisioning. Our focus today is to reduce the stage 3 percentage, then come back to the market with a clear strategy on our SME portfolio. Our focus on the future focus on the SME portfolio will be our lower ticket LAP at around 20-25 lakhs. That's the focus with which we'll come back on the SME book. As of today, we are running down the book. We are trying to reduce the NPA without much of losses. That's the call on SME.
Okay, sir. So this rundown that you are planning to do right now, so what, until what percentage of AUM would be comfortable depending on how many, you know, prepayments you've gotten back, and so what level is it, that is there any level that you're eyeing, this much percentage of AUM would be sufficient for me to now, you know, get back into market with my lower ticket disbursements?
See, we are planning to come back to the market once my net NPA starts falling below the double digit which we are carrying. That's the benchmark we have kept. We have not kept any AUM benchmark. We have kept the net NPA benchmark. Once it falls below the double digit, then we will start seriously looking into it and start growing.
Okay. And I just, one of the, I guess, last question, which is a miscellaneous kind of question I have. But post your ESOP reversal, the numbers that you have for your employee expenses, so is that a sustainable assumption to also make in the future, that they'll be holding out at that level?
It would be at that level. it would be at least in the current year, it would be at that level for the next three quarters kind of.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Darshan.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a participant who has joined the queue. We will take the question from the line of Sumit Balotia from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and my special to the good set of numbers, sir. Most of the questions have been answered. Just one question on so there has been too much discussion on the guidance, so I won't repeat those questions. On the overall AUM, if you can throw some light on the corporate book, how it is behaving and, you know, what is the mindset there in the next 2-3 quarters, what kind of further rundown do you see, and is there any change in the inherent quality there? A few of the bigger accounts, you can share that. And secondly, the overall guidance that you give for the full year, 10,000 crore for the standalone book and 500 crore disbursement for the overall console level. What is the kind of rundown that you are expecting on SME and corporate both by year end?
Corporate, we are very serious to reduce it. We are looking at ways and means as to how we can reduce it without any impact to the P&L. You need to give us some more time before we come back with a clear action plan as to how much it will reduce this year. But our assurance is by the end of the year, the corporate book will reduce significantly.
Same is the case with SME.
Okay. And so what is the average yield that we have on the corporate book and SME book?
SME book is around 13%. Corporate book is around 15%.
Okay.
Thanks, Sumit.
Yeah. So on the guidance, you're not including any rundown assumption, right?
Which one?
And the guidance that you have given for the overall year, for the year.
Net of the rundown.
Net of rundown for the corporate. Okay. Okay. Thanks so much, sir.
Thanks, Sumit.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have one more question from the line of Ankit Patel from HSBC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Ankit.
My question was around stage two. If you could give us an idea on the CV book that you have as of now, because I think the numbers mentioned 1+2. But is this also seeing a reduction over the last few periods? An idea that we wanted to have. That's the first question.
Yeah, stage two numbers have also significantly reduced. If you look at it, we were at a very high number. It has come down to around 9% overall. I'll just give you the numbers. Just give me a moment. Percentage terms, I'll give you the number.
In fact, December quarter, the absolute number was 223 crores. It has now come down to 180 crores.
Yeah, 180. Yeah.
This is at overall level?
No, only the CV stage 2.
You refer to stage 2, right? CV.
Yeah. It is at around 4.85% this quarter.
Okay, 4.85%. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
88% is stage 1.
Right.
And 1.45 is stage 3.
Right. Is there any restructuring also included in this 485 or that is separate?
It is there, but restructuring is a very small number. It's less than probably 50 crore.
Okay. Right. So less than 1%.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, on the remaining corporate book of 1,100 crores, just wanted to understand the nature of this. Is it lumpy, very large accounts which are remaining, which you are planning to resolve, or is something that you are holding back? Are you still disbursing in that? How are you handling that book now?
See, it's a lumpy exposure only. We have 5 customers contributing to this 1,100 crores. There are certain commitments which we are honoring on their disbursement, but we are working out methodologies so that these can get resolved. 3 accounts are in stage 1, the balance 2 are in stage 2, which is both the lumpy accounts, which is 800 crores, are in stage 2. Roughly 870 crores are in stage 2. We are working out with the promoters so that these can get resolved. These are those last of those accounts which are remaining in our corporate book. Our assessment is we will be able to find a very good solution probably very fast.
Right. Fine. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nikunj Jain from Orient Capital for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks. I would like to thank the management for taking time out for this conference call today. And also thanks to all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital Investor Relations Advisors to Indostar Capital Finance Limited. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
On behalf of Indostar Capital Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.